Lyndall Gordon has written prize-winning biographies of T.S. Eliot, Charlotte Bronte, and Virginia Woolf. Now she's turned her critical attention to Mary Wollstonecraft, a woman scandalous in her own time, who's now regarded as the mother of modern feminism. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review of Vindication, A Life of Mary Wollstonecraft.
I am not born to tread in the beaten path, the young Mary Wollstonecraft said of herself. The peculiar bent of my nature pushes me on. It's a rare person who really does deviate, in more than just a cosmetic way, from the received certainties of his or her time. But Mary Wollstonecraft was just such a renegade. Born in 1759 into a middle-class English family who barely took notice of her, Wollstonecraft was destined, like her sisters, to spend her life working in the ladylike shade as a paid companion, teacher, or governess. And in fact, she plugged away at all three of those professions in her 20s. But in a miraculous act of self-creation, she broke through the polite shackles of servitude to become, among other wonders, a social critic who held her own with the likes of her friend Tom Paine, a foreign correspondent who traveled to Paris to cover the French Revolution, a domestic revolutionary who had a child out of wedlock and then fashioned a marriage of equals with fellow political philosopher William Godwin, and the mother of modern feminism. Unfortunately, Wollstonecraft couldn't escape the most deadly of the master plots governing women's lives in the 18th century. She died at 38, soon after giving birth to her second child, a girl who would grow up to become Mary Shelley, a renegade in her own right. The larger tragedy of Mary Wollstonecraft's early death, as her latest biographer Lyndall Gordon sees it, is twofold. First, there's the loss of all those pioneering thoughts and books that she didn't live to generate. Second, there's the devastating irony that this woman, who spent her life sloughing off conventional female labels, became embalmed by them in the biographies written about her after her death. The worst culprit, Gordon says, was the most grief-stricken, namely Wollstonecraft's husband, William Godwin. In trying to defend his wife from popular slanders that she was, as the contemporary novelist Horace Walpole famously dubbed her, a hyena in petticoats, Godwin downplayed Wollstonecraft's intellectual rigor and instead frankly stressed her womanly hungering for intimacy. Soon enough, Godwin's full-blooded image of his wife was vulgarized into the tenacious one of Mary Wollstonecraft as a sex-starved hysteric doomed by her masculine genius. Gordon's just-published biography is called Vindication, and while that title most obviously tips its hat to Wollstonecraft's most famous political work, A Vindication of the Rights of Woman, it's also clearly intended as a retort to her critics, particularly those 19th-century feminists who found her too lusty for respectability. One of the many triumphs of Gordon's biography is that it makes Wollstonecraft's emerging life of the mind every bit as thrilling as her belatedly tumultuous life of the body. Gordon says Wollstonecraft found her voice in a brief moment of human optimism during the American and particularly the French revolutions. Throughout the first third of Vindication, she pieces together the long apprenticeship through which Wollstonecraft came to be, as she herself said, a new genus of human being. Some of Wollstonecraft's transformation process was jump-started by luck. She taught school in a town where the leading figures were dissenters, political and social progressives who inspired her. Other changes were brought about by Wollstonecraft's own gutsy acts of determination. When she was dismissed in 1787 from a post as a governess, Wollstonecraft set out for London and gambled her small savings on the hope that she could become a self-supporting author. Aided by newly discovered documents and by her own acuity, Gordon gives psychological nuance to the familiar outline of Wollstonecraft's personal life, her tortured affair with her shifty American lover Gilbert Imlay, and her remarkable marriage to Godwin. The two lived, not together, but around the corner from each other. As Wollstonecraft wrote to her new husband, "I wish you, for my soul, to be riveted in my heart, but I do not desire to have you always at my elbow." Wollstonecraft wasn't perfect. She was sometimes dragged down by inertia and despair, and Gordon's biography isn't perfect either. It dwells too long on Wollstonecraft's travels in Scandinavia and periodically halts the narrative to fill readers in on wearying scholarship, like, say, the Anglo-Saxon origins of the name Godwin. But overall, it presents a captivating portrait, not of a strident feminist, nor a blue stocking, but, as Gordon asserts, a rational and vulnerable visionary who had the courage to try to map out, in her work and in her life, a blueprint for human change.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University and is the author of the forthcoming memoir, Leave Me Alone, I'm Reading. She reviewed Vindication, A Life of Mary Wollstonecraft.